You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch, with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are on the couch. Welcome, everyone, here to LA Talk Radio, the country's most listened to internet talk station. Once again, a fabulous show with a great author. Information you're going to learn today, you will not want to miss. We're talking about one of my favorite subjects, and yours too, as evidenced by your writing and your texts and your emails and your calls, relationships. You know? Why do so many of us have relationship problems? That's like the biggest issue in my practice. And what I always sort of go back to in helping people is that they kind of need to take care of themselves first. They need to work through a lot of their own issues and sort of discover who they are before, you know, venturing into really serious relationships. Unfortunately, most of us don't get to do that. We're young, we fall in love, we're in and out of relationships, we get married, we get divorced, we have kids, we go through a lot of changes, you know, in our lives. So, but it's really good to kind of know who you are, some of your issues, no matter what they are. And we're going to be talking about early stuff that may have influenced us as well as other things in our lives. And more importantly, the differences between men and women. Are there really differences between men and women? Well, there was this article that came out this February, last February, and, you know, these are journal articles, so you want to try to say that there's, you know, credence in their results. It's called the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology. And according to the research, it says that there simply are not fundamental consistent cognitive differences between men and women. And I'm quoting now, guys. While some traits are more likely to be found in one gender or another, everyone is likely to have some stereotypically feminine and masculine traits. Sure, we all do. It's androgyny. Yeah. And then the article goes on to say, it's not sexy to say that men and women are pretty much the same, because we love to hear how there's a battle of the sexes between two completely different groups of people. You know, it's an easy myth to fall back on, but this article says it's completely wrong. We're not really different at all. And I do agree that each of us has a mix of masculine and feminine traits. Well, we do. But anyway, so that was kind of interesting to me, because I sort of disagree personally with all my years of working as a psychologist, helping people, reading, researching. Well, I think there are fundamental differences. I think there are the way differences between the way men and women process information and communicate. And we're actually going to find out more about that today, because my special guest has written a book that's really thorough, interesting, and will give you a lot of good ideas on how to help your relationship issues. It's Sandra Marchetti. She's the author of several books, and we'll be talking about those books briefly as well at the end of the show, which really are relationship-focused. Sandra is a clinical hypnotherapist as well. She has clients. She's been working in the field for years, and her latest book today we're talking about, it's cool. It's called Men Are From Earth, Women Are From Earth, Deal With It. Hey, Sandra Marchetti, welcome to the show.
How are you? Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. I really enjoyed reading your book. Lots
Thank
of information.
You.
You know what I thought was cool is the way that you had your chapters. Small, short, small, but focusing on each subject that really deals with relationship stuff.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, it took a while to write it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I wanted to make sure that it, you know, and a lot of it, of course, is my opinion and,
sure.
you know, listening to our own clients.
Well, exactly. And that's where we get our information, don't we? Mm-hmm. I mean, sharing stories. Now, tell me something. Why did you decide to use that title, Men Are From Earth, Women Are From Earth, Deal With It?
Good question. After reading Men Are From Mars, I thought, and this is my own opinion, that it's geared more to the male point of view. Mm. I realized that whether the book was symbolic or metaphoric, we are earthlings. We shouldn't be compared to gods, goddesses, or people on other planets because we have enough of our own issues to deal with.
Right.
And I think today it's so easy to let go. It's so easy to walk away.
Yeah.
Nobody really does try anymore.
Yeah.
So... And I think John Gray's probably a wonderful man, and he's definitely a good, great writer. It's just some differences of opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you. And as you said, you know, in your book as well, that, you know, a lot of relationship books written by men come more from a man's perspective and vice versa. You know, women's books come, and that's because they know who they are and how they interpret, you know, guys and deal with them and their relationships and all that, so.
You know, to touch on something you said just a little while ago, men and women, I believe, are fundamentally the same when it comes to love, wanting to be loved, wanting to be held, wanting to be heard, but they're definitely different in the communication line. So I was listening to what you were saying, and I do agree. We are different.
Yeah. They,
you know, especially.
True. It's really true. And you do point out those differences in your book that you've seen, and I'm really on the same page with you. When I was, you know, kind of reading your, you know, dialogue of the conversations between men, hanging out, talking, you know, or bonding, as we call it, boy, you were spot on. Some of those conversations are amazing. They sound like my husband and his friends when they're all together hanging out. You know,
playing poker again, are we, Joe?
You remember? Those cigars. That's right, girl. Oh, that's funny. So can you talk about some of your experiences that really led you to write your book?
I had a great childhood. I had a great childhood, and as the years went on, I practiced what my parents practiced, more or less.
Lucky.
I do notice... In clinical hypnotherapy, people come in to talk, to actually be hypnotized to, you know, do away with some of the negative aspects in their otherwise, you know, normal life. But what happened, I noticed, is that they would stop talking and they would go into their relationship, it would go into their man, their woman problems, whatever they had. They talk and talk and talk. So I just kept quiet, let them, you know, do what they had to do, say what they had to say. Some of them didn't even bother being hypnotized.
Wow.
It, you know, they just wanted to talk. And that's with all of us.
Yeah.
You know, we need to get it out.
We do.
So that's what really, you know, started me off.
Wow. And that's
writing.
Great experience, too. Fascinating stuff. What do you feel? And I know this is a really loaded question, Sandra, so... But what do you feel are some of the fundamental differences between, let's just start with communication and thinking, the differences between men and women?
That's a good question.
Yes.
The bottom line, I think, is men come straight to the point, and women have a tendency to go around Central Park. We like to add the lace and the trimming to the turkey before we put it on the table. I think if a man heard past our first sentence, it's going to be a miracle. He's meat and potatoes with the trimming and the condiments.
Yes, I love that.
And you know, I think that's really basically the whole thing.
There's
a lot to communication, and I'm talking basic communication. You know, and it's hard to cure yourself of certain habits, but we can do it.
I agree. And it takes practice and thought. And don't you agree, Sandra, that that's if couples really are serious and really want to, you know, work out their problems as you've seen in a, you know, therapy mm-hmm. session, rather than sit and, you know, legitimize their yelling at each other in front of us, right?
And you know what? You're right. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. Some people, when they're not happy with something, they hit their spouse or their partner in a defensive way right away. It sounds like they're accusing instead of, you know, they're the victim instead of, you know, talking it out.
Yeah.
But, you know.
They do. I mean, they, you know, it's right away. They I think they want to do this to us
right.
therapists, you know, defend why they're angry and why they're, you know, hurt in this.
Right.
And it comes from both sides. Well, you did this. Well, it's like a contest sometimes.
And human beings are very, they're the best historians in the world.
Yep.
They can put something away and then when use it right at the right time.
Yes.
Do you remember when you did this? No, it's,
oh,
it's
yeah.
crazy, but we're all guilty of it.
Yep. Don't you think women do that more than men or not?
Absolutely.
Yeah. We do.
We hang
on to things, don't we?
Right. We certainly do. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's how it is.
Yep,
the
sure
earth
is.
Things are
right.
different.
Yep. No, I agree. I completely agree. By the way, in case you just tuned in here on LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. My special guest today is clinical hypnotherapist and author of several books. We'll be mentioning her other books at the end of the show as well. They're all relationship-oriented. And also, by the way, how you can get a hold of her book. Her name's Sandra Marchetti. And, boy, she this latest book is great. It's called Men Are From Earth, Women Are From Earth. Deal with it. A long time ago, I saw a quote as a comedy bit from George Carlin.
George Carlin.
Is that funny? When you know,
you know what's funny is that I never knew it.
Well, it's that.
I never heard that until recently.
Well, you were in tune, girl. The world mind there. See, that's what it's about. So we talked about, you know, the differences. Men basically are direct. The differences between the
mm-hmm.
way men and women think and communicate. Men are bada boom, bada bing, as what Johnny Carson used to say. Just focus,
right.
do it, that's it, communicate, think, get to the point. Women are more verbal. We need to explain and express our feelings. Nothing wrong with either approaches. No judgment between us. Right, Sandra? No judgment.
That's right. No judgment.
But how about the differences between women and men when it comes to how, you know, they approach their problems? How are they sort of different?
I think they can solve the problems equally well. Their mm-hmm. approach is the different part of it. A man tends to approach a problem analytically. He likes to get, as we said before, straight to the point. Women, on the other hand, we have four times as many brain cells, you know, connecting the right side and left side of our brain.
Yes.
So we can focus on more than one thing at a time.
Yes, yes.
Right?
We
so
can.
Sharing and discussing a problem mm-hmm. is important.
It really is. I think, you know, it really is. And you know, there's the old joke, you know, between men and women about the more of the brain cells functioning. Shall I say functioning? Is that a fair word, Sandra?
Yes, it's an excellent word.
Okay, good. Or firing. Shall we say firing on either sides of the brain? More so for women than men. It's because
mm-hmm.
because of the verbal and, you know, spatial, rational things clicking off. And in your book, you suggest that the reason why most marriages and relationships break up is something that usually happens without warning. Now, this was a cool thing. What is that something? What is that reason that you see?
You know, it's funny. I didn't mean that you wake up. You know, you don't
yeah.
wake up one
yeah.
morning and say, okay, it's over, see ya. When I say without warning, it generally refers to waking up and noticing you don't see eye to eye anymore.
Wow.
Anything that you've tried to mend the relationship isn't working. You realize you have nothing in common with one another any longer.
Mm.
One of you may have grown, the other didn't.
Mm.
You can't seem to communicate without arguing. You know, anything deeper than that most certainly, you know, would need another kind of conflict.
Yeah.
But basically, you know, it's just not there anymore. And no matter what you do to bring it back, it doesn't happen.
Right.
You know, so without warning, you'll just wake up and realize it's over. We have nothing in common. We don't talk anymore.
Yes.
You know?
And you've seen this, I'm sure, a lot, as have I, a lot of couples.
Oh, yeah.
I say, what do you guys do together? Well, they're off doing their own thing in the house.
Yes.
Over
yes.
here doing his thing in the house. She's doing mm-hmm. hers. And then, well, what do you do for fun? Well, I don't know. We'll go out to dinner occasionally. Or, do you guys touch? Well, yeah, sure, we touch. I mean, there's mm-hmm. all they seem really like they've just floated apart, exactly like you said.
Yes. And it's, you know, the French, I think you may have read that in the book, they touch 10 times is more than we do.
Wow.
Americans, we don't touch. Mm-hmm. I'm a very touchy-feely kind of person.
I can tell.
But touch makes such a big difference.
Yeah, that's good.
Can you hear it?
Can yeah,
you
I can
hear it?
Hear it, girl. I feel you.
Yeah. And we don't do that. We need to. We don't show each other. I mean, you know what? You could be a couch potato and sit on that couch every night. Mm. But if you pick that one night and say, let's go out, let's really dress up, let's have a date night, and you've heard that over and over again.
Yeah, sure.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful to do.
Exactly.
And I think it's a necessity.
Boy, is it ever. And we were talking about, you know, touchy and feely and mm-hmm. all that stuff. And at the beginning of the show, you mentioned, you know, that you had pretty nice parents. You had a pretty good upbringing, and God bless you, girl. Good for you.
My parents married 70 years, and as many times as I've heard my dad say it's the longest war in history, they couldn't live without one another. They couldn't.
Right.
And of course, their communication now is from hard, you know, hard of hearing communication. What'd you say? What'd you say?
That's so cute.
You know, yeah, but they can't live without each other.
Oh.
But when I was young, small, my sister, myself, our dogs, our cats, come 5:30 when we heard that car, my mother said, come on, everybody, right to the door. We greeted Dad when he came home. We kissed him. We hugged him. Dinner was always on the table. And that's how I went into my life with my husband and children.
Yes. Yes, and you're a great model for readers because you have experienced it. You know what a mm-hmm. healthy relationship is, and you've lived it. You're not just making this stuff up.
And so. I know what an unhealthy one is as well.
Sure.
It's, you know, it's life. It's life. And if we don't learn from our mistakes, I've learned so much from my parents, but I made my own mistakes.
Well, yes, we all do, and that's how we learn. We mess up. We hurt people. Mm-hmm. We get hurt. You know, we learn, hopefully. Right?
That's right. We have to learn.
Yeah. So speaking about, you know, like damaging, you know, early environments or family issues that you and mm-hmm. I hear about all the time, how do those tough upbringings affect us in terms of trying to have healthy relationships with people in life?
That's a difficult question. I think your upbringing, it does make all the difference in the world. Okay, we can't replay the past, and we can't make it, you know, the past is the past. It's time to move forward.
Sure.
But it does make a difference on what we've learned and how we experience things. Again, like I said, with my dad and everything, you practice what you know. Mm-hmm. And if knowing is negative, because it's a habit, it needs to change. It's mm-hmm. it's going to be very hard work. But if all you know is anger from when you were a child, and all you know is screaming and yelling, I think you're going to do the same thing unless you really stop, look, and listen before the train pulls out of the station. You know, it's not the right thing.
Exactly, as you explain in your book. And, you know, you also talk about the same thing that I talk about a lot here on the show. And that's, you know, of course, the behavior we see from our parents and our environment and stuff. And also, you know, is these little sponges, these little creatures that we are that come in, we're taken in with our little egos, everything personally. So dad's in a bad mood.
Better believe it. Yep.
Abusive, mom, nasty, arguing, chaos, constant chaos. And, you know, we interpret that as, I'm not good enough. I must be the cause. Ooh, I better shut up. And then we adopt all those kind of coping skills of either, you know, shutting down or being a rebel or being a fighter or whatever. But all those little nasty messages that we believe who we are of being whatever, not good enough, not smart enough, deserving the abuse, then we grow up still as adults with these icky feelings.
That's right. But you know what's funny?
Yeah.
And you know this.
Yeah.
We know we have those feelings. We know why we're insecure. We know what our parents have done and haven't done.
Yes.
And it's just sitting down and talking to yourself, saying, look, I know this is what's wrong. I need to find a way to overcome it.
Yes.
Which, again, is a lot of people have come in for hypnosis. it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
We form our own habits.
Yes, we do.
So, you know.
And as a specialist and hypnotherapist, just for, you know, listeners, give mm-hmm. them a little bit more information. How does that work? You're kind of reprogramming them in that whatever you use an alpha or theta state. You're kind of reprogramming their subconscious without mm-hmm. controlling.
Yeah, because we're talking to the subconscious,
uh-huh.
not the you know how when you're driving, your conscious mind starts the car up, puts it in gear, and then all of a sudden you're at the market and you don't remember how you got there because your subconscious mind did all the driving.
That's true.
So while you're deciding what you're going to have for dinner tonight, I'm talking to your subconscious mind.
Right. So when you, no, it's true.
It's true. When you're in hypnosis, you can hear the trucks and the cars outside. You sit there and go, this isn't working. Mm-hmm. It's crazy, but mm-hmm. it does work.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Yeah.
And so what you do is you just kind of, let's say someone has a problem or let's say a habit or, you know, mm-hmm. they're thinking negatively. They have they always go to the bad place about mm-hmm. it's my fault or whatever.
So
in a relaxed state, in a mm-hmm. calming state, you give them, and you work with each individual, I know you're
of
a professional,
course, yeah.
their particular suggestions that would help them reinforce the contrary.
Perfect way to put it. Yes.
Thanks.
And you can change a bad memory. Mm. You can change it and make it good.
Mm-hmm.
It's just knowing how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is in your subconscious. We have memories that we don't even know we had until somebody uncovers it.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
And people don't believe that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's true. I mean, if a cowboy drops a coin in the 1800s and then it's covered over with dirt and tar and cement, and 200 years later, that coin's still there if you dig it up.
Oh, boy. That's a great analogy.
That's the same for your memory.
Yeah, it's really true. Just, I'm going off topic here just a bit because I'm
sure.
This is my own personal indulgence,
mm-hmm.
so excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think listeners are interested also in hypnotherapy and psychology. You have no control over anyone. You're not, you know, this is, you know, people say, right. I mean, you're not going to do anything. They're not going to do anything that they don't want to do.
No, this is not witchcraft. This is, I'm not going to let you bark like a dog or, you know, quack like a duck. Although the little duck on Affleck, his real name is Ben Jones. I just couldn't get him back to normal.
You're so cute. I love it.
No, but no, of course not. We don't control your mind.
No.
And we're not, you know, psychics.
Right.
I can't tell you the future.
Right.
It's just what you you're telling me.
Yes. And it's been around a very long time, and it's not mysterious.
Yeah.
It's a science. I mean, it works. And results.
Yeah, you're talking about stage hypnosis, too, which is two different things.
Mm-hmm. So what are those two different things?
Well, stage hypnosis is strictly for entertainment.
Yeah. Oh,
and you know what? Hypnotist knows.
Oh, God.
They take 14 people up and only 7 remain because you can see the other 7 aren't, you know, participating.
Yeah, yeah. They're not
so,
going for it.
But it is real. It is real.
Yeah, I agree. And again, mm-hmm. you know, I've seen so many positive results from it. To help people. Well, let's get back to your book. By the way, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle, and my special guest today is hypnotherapist, and she's the author of many books, including her latest, which we're really focusing on today. It's called Men Are From Earth, Women Are From Earth. Deal with it. And Sandra talks about the power, this is powerful, of direct and clear communication between partners. That's the biggie, huh? Right?
Mm-hmm. It really is.
What are some of the suggestions you give to help folks have, as you call it, the direct and clear communication?
Right. Well, you know, our biggest problem is most people don't know. We have a misconception about what communication really is.
Mm-hmm.
So when we approach our partner, and we approach them in a form of a debate, so right away, feathers are flustered, the armor's put up.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to say that you can't be angry. But you know, you have a right to all your thoughts.
Right.
But you have to consider, you know, your partner may have something to say as well.
Sure.
Your conversation shouldn't be a battleground where you have to prove who's right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what ultimately does happen. And we overtalk one another. And it's we're all guilty of that.
Boy, we are.
You know, we really are.
Yeah.
So
it's
starting
true.
Off with the word you mm-hmm. is a sin.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. You
right?
are. You do.
You did
think.
It.
You know,
right.
That's accusatory.
That's right. That's exactly what it is.
You know, and you emphasize the I statements. I see that you're feeling, or I'm feeling, a little sad because it seems to me that.
Yeah. Exactly. But if you say you make me feel this way instead of I feel this way possibly because.
Yes.
And we don't do that because we think too fast, we speak too fast, and those words come flying out of our mouths.
Mm.
And if we stopped. Just a second, we may be able to change everything.
Boy, is that
true. But it's self-control and it's training.
And it is. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. It's self-control and training. And don't you think, I just wanted to throw this out here, because people are sort of, as I saw on Oprah, she was interviewing Lindsay Lohan, addicted to the chaos. Don't you think people sort of get into that frenzy?
They love it. They love drama.
Yeah.
People love drama.
Yeah.
They do. That's the bottom line. I mean, there can't be any explanation for it. It's just that they love drama and they'll do what they can do to create it.
And there's chaos. There's chemical. Yeah, there's chemical mm-hmm. rushes from that. You know, the endorphins and the old and
yes,
whatever.
Sir, ma'am.
And as you know, as a hypnotherapist, there's inherited chemical imbalances mm-hmm. with certain personality disorders mm-hmm. and sometimes the frenzy of the anger with, you know, some of the bipolar and things like that. You know, they can't help themselves. It's just a kind of a chemical high that is ongoing, which is really tough to try to correct. But, I mean, we're
and
talking...
it's difficult to live with someone who's, you know, constantly combative and, like you say, on a high of chaos.
Mm.
A chaos high, yes.
Boy, is it ever.
Because listening is a skill that needs to be learned and developed.
It is.
Because just because I hear what you're saying doesn't mean that I'm listening to you.
Right.
So, you know.
And that's where that idea of, as you talk about too, is reflecting back to your partner, you know, kind of what you've heard, so you're on the same page. So in other words, what you're telling me is blah, 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 and they can either say, no, you missed it. What I'm telling you is, or, you know, just so you can
You're right on point. Yeah. I mean, we can, you know what, when somebody speaks to you, and if you acknowledge that you're listening, the conversation goes so much better. I mean, especially with your partner. I hate to say if he listens to you more, because, you know, like I say, that first sentence, he's done.
Yeah, he's done.
So but let me know you heard me. That's all I ask.
Yes.
You know, yeah.
Yes, exactly. And another really important thing, so we use the I statements, I'm seeing, I'm feeling, mm-hmm. I'm, you know, and guys get scared of these because I had a couple come in a couple of weeks ago and say something about, the man said something about, oh, I'm just so tired of her using these I statements. I feel, I need, I want. It's just so come on. It's just so cliche. I go, sir, how are you going to know what's up with her, you know, unless she says, I'm seeing, I'm observing, I'm feeling. It's not the truth. It's her truth. It's what she's saying. So you got to clarify it, man. Is she wrong?
That's perfect. That's right.
Thank you.
And, you know, and that was another thing in John Gray's book. I guess that bothered me a little.
Yeah.
Is that it was the woman comes home and says, I'm so tired. And he takes it as, you don't want me anymore, and you're tired of me. And that's not how our earthlings are. You know, when your wife comes home and says, I'm so tired, he takes it, okay, you're so tired. It's not that I'm tired of you. What kind of ego does this man have? That,
exactly.
You know, it's all centered around him.
Isn't that interesting? It is. And that, by the way, you know, as Sandra's talking about John Gray's book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, which came out a long time ago, and it is a masculine point of view, you know, of men and women's differences, you know, in different ways. And also what's interesting is what I've seen and heard, and I know you have too, Sandra, is when a woman just, you know, she comes home, they're both relaxing, whatever, she says, I'm tired. Sometimes men go to, okay, how do you want me to fix it then? It's like,
we don't want you to fix it.
No, don't fix it. This is not
just hear me. I'm tired.
Thank you.
You know.
Yeah, it's like saying,
that's true. We
the sky's blue.
We're not looking to be fixed.
That's right. The sky's blue. Okay, that's a, you know, just, I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I wish it would rain today. Well, how can I do that for you? It's the way it is. We don't want you to fix it. We just want you to hear me.
Yeah.
Hear us. You know.
And I think that's a tough one for a lot of men. And again, guys out there listening, I don't want to get any nasty emails or calls later. Don't you be
because
doing that.
Because look what we're doing.
That's right. Don't
we're putting it to the woman's point of view.
That's it. I don't want to hear you say, oh, you complain about men. This is not complaining. This is pointing out differences we see. Right?
All I can say is, John Gray, you had your say.
There you go. I like that one. Ooh, that's a good one. And, you know, so we talk about communication skills and we talk about interpreting what our partners are saying. How can couples kind of, you know, better interpret, learn to interpret? I mean, that all goes with kind of coming from a defensive or negative place, the way we take things, right?
Exactly. It's the same thing over and over again. People often think they're listening, but they're really thinking about what they're going to say next.
Yeah.
How do I defend myself? Mm-hmm. What do I say when that person stops talking?
Yeah.
So effective communication is both ways. You got to let your partner know you're listening by acknowledging it, like I said before.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a debate team.
Right, exactly.
You know, where
right.
am I going to go next on this argument?
There's no scoreboard up on the wall.
That's it. I always say there's no contest, guys. This is not who's good and who's bad. And
that's right.
You know,
right.
Let's just try to work on the communication problems and cleaning up some of the behaviors that really hurts us or turns us off. And if you don't want to do that, if you're not willing to work, then... You know,
you're hurting yourself. Yeah, you're hurting yourself in your marriage, your partnership, whatever you have. You're hurting.
Exactly. And they can get more information, too. The readers and listeners can with your new book, Men Are From Earth, Women Are From Earth, Deal With It. And, you know, just a lot of details about cleaning it up, you know, understanding. And a biggie that you talk about, which is so important, is anger. So we all get angry. We're all guilty of that. We all have, you know, our buttons and our triggers. So you say that can be one of the most damaging interactions in a relationship. So
sure it can.
How?
But you know what?
Yeah.
It's a human thing. And if we don't ever feel anger, then we do belong on another planet. It's part of, I think anger can be useful, even though it's frightening.
Because
if you don't express your anger,
yeah.
Or if you express it at inappropriate times, it can be damaging, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure can.
So the problem isn't being angry. It's how we deal with it.
Yeah, exactly.
So we have to learn to express it in a more constructive and safe way.
Yeah. Safe is the word. And you know, and again, we go with the, I'm feeling angry. I'm feeling upset. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling, just pushed a button of mine, which you know is blah, blah, blah. Why did you do that?
Right. Yeah. We're good at pushing buttons.
Yeah.
All of us, men and women. We're all good at pushing buttons.
Oh, boy, are we ever.
Yeah. But
so you
we all have calluses on our little fingertips.
Yeah. Well said. Yeah, and you talk about the importance of forgiveness and understanding, and this is a biggie, too. So my question is, and I think this is a real common question, especially with men, you know, both people who've come in to see us, how can you forgive someone who's hurt us or, you know, put out their anger or continual defensive behavior? Or
cheated on us. How do you do that? We hold on to pain. We actually hold grudges. So many of us hold grudges. And what holding grudges is, it's a feeling of being in control. But what I think is, it's really a show of insecurity. Oof. And as far as cheating, I have a difficult time with that one because, you know, that old saying, once a cheater, always a cheater.
Yeah.
I believe there's some truth to that. And forgiving someone who's turned on us is an extremely difficult thing to do.
It really is.
Yeah, trust is a key issue in a relationship.
Yeah. It sure is. And then,
really hard. Yeah.
Yeah, Sandra. And then comes in the other issue as we hear, you know, so much in the media about celebrities. about you know, the San Diego mayor.
About, yes,
you know,
right?
So much of the, you know, and let's Wiener. Yeah. We hear about Wiener. You know, come on. I'm addicted to porn. I'm a sexual addict, and I have to go to group therapy and be treated.
Then he doesn't need Men from Earth. He needs a psychiatrist. He does. People, you know, we're talking basic communication skills, basic problems that everybody has. Those are not basic problems.
Right.
What this gentleman has and others.
Yeah.
This world is, you know.
Yeah, exactly. You need a psychiatrist is true and treated, you know, deeply, possibly, I don't know, with medication.
Yeah.
How can you reprogram that to, if you want a healthy, trusting relationship in your life, you have to stop cheating on your loved ones, lying to them, sexually harassing other women, having affairs with other women, and, you know, get with it. And we hear this again all the time from, you know, the celebrity, mostly men. I mean, you know, come on, let's just, you know, they're out there. It's the way the species is. It's just always been like that because it's easier. You know, it's just easier
for
men.
That's right.
That's okay. That's the way it is. That we got to procreate the species now. You know, Sandra and I are talking anthropology here.
We got it all down, don't we?
we're trying, right?
We're trying.
Oh, God. So, in one of, you know, your most helpful suggestions, you talk about the importance of couples remembering the reasons why they originally chose each other. So how can people do this?
You know, there's three stages of a relationship. There's the endearment stage with the butterflies in your stomach, and I can't wait for them to call.
Yeah.
There's the adjustment stage once you get to that certain point of living together, knowing each other's ways. And then there's the commitment stage, which is my favorite because that means everything's for, you know, we're here to last.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we want.
Okay.
So find out which stage you're at, and, you know, you might be able to work with that. You're finished with the butterflies in the stomach, right? You're adjusted already to your personalities, difference in them. And now we're at the commitment, hopefully, of making this partnership last. So how do we bring it back? We want to bring back a little bit of the first stage before life gets real. So let's sit down. Let's talk to one another. Find out what it is that made us fall in love so fast with each other. Revisit a special place maybe that we used to go. Go on a fancy date all dressed up. Look at an old photo or old photos. And remember the special things and say, I love you. What made you say I love you in the first place? It's such a difficult three words to use for some people.
Yes. And like, I agree. And like you said, there are stages, those really important stages of a relationship, the beginnings and the flutters and the sexual.
Right.
And I guess the really healthiest long-term relationship, you know, qualities are remembering all those things, but really knowing the journey, I guess, that both people have taken and how they've gone through the ups and downs and the maturity, and which is not a bad word.
That's what it is. It doesn't mean you're old. It means you're ripened.
Yeah, there you
they're
go.
They're ripe. That's what it is. It's mature. We all change because we change every day. So it's up to our partners and ourselves, of course, to discover those new changes about one another. Because we're not stagnant. We are changing.
Yeah.
But those three stages are vital to one another. But the first stage, sometimes you want to just grasp that stage again and get those butterflies again.
Yeah. And you can, as you suggest.
And you can, definitely.
And you do have some really great suggestions and ideas and things to work through and think about in your book as well. By the way, if in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest today, Sandra Marchetti. She's the author of her latest book. Right now we're talking about Men Are From Earth and Women Are From Earth, so deal with it. The word "so" isn't in there. It's deal with it.
That's but I like that in there. Brings it together.
There you go. Well, it's really a helpful book on, you know, working through relationships, all the different aspects, and just dealing with the way we communicate and what got us off track in the first place. And speaking of being off track, you talk about how others, and this is a something that I see very often, how others influence our relationships. And you say one of the biggest dangers in a relationship is a parent, relative, or best friend.
How did I know you were going to bring that up? Because you know why? Because when you have a fight with your husband, and you know what? Again, women are more guilty of this than a man, but
yep.
I'm fighting with my husband, and I'm so angry. I pick up the phone, I call my best friend, I call my sister, I call my mother. And you know what he did?
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? I make up with him at night, but they're still angry at him.
That's right.
So what do you do? You got to learn how to cool down before you pick that phone up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the damage can be. Because now my mother has a terrible opinion of my
yes.
partner.
Right.
It's an uncomfortable feeling when you get together again.
Right.
So I think we all have to learn that, just to calm down before we pick the phone up.
Yeah, and sort of think about, that's plain and simple, and that makes a lot mm-hmm. of sense. Kind of think about how, you know, we talk badly about our partners or our husbands, mm-hmm. wives, whatever. And by the way, this is non-gender specific. All types of relationships mm-hmm. this book applies to as well. It's not just man-woman relationships.
Because man-man, woman-woman, man-woman, doggy, cat.
That's right.
Well, my dog and my cat have a great relationship.
Gosh, so, that's great.
Everybody.
That's neat. Mine don't. Mine don't like each other, and they fight sometimes. So I.
Aww.
And that's a shame.
Well, you know what? They could read a book. It's called Men from Earth.
That's right.
So
that's great. So, you know, briefly or earlier a little bit too, and I wanted to touch on this because this is a biggie that comes up, and a lot of people, I'm sure, in your office approach you on this issue. You know, there's people who have really difficult personalities, and they're almost like over the top, like personality disorders, as we would call them, like self-centeredness or narcissism, as we call it, mm-hmm. neediness, possessiveness, and jealousy. Can we change people who have such fixed personality characteristics at all?
Well, I think they have them because they made them a habit.
Mm.
It's a habit. Everything we do is a habit. But in reality, I believe that all of these are forms of insecurities.
Yeah.
They cause us to lose focus on what's wrong in the relationship. Actually, what we're doing is we're focusing on what's wrong
mm-hmm.
than what's right.
Yeah.
Whether it's in an office, whether it's in your relationship.
Yes.
So we should focus on the things that are working.
Mm-hmm. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a friend who couldn't wait to go to work the next day because there was turmoil in the office, and she just loved it. And she couldn't wait to go to bed to get up to get back into it. It's crazy. And you look at them and you wonder why.
Yeah.
Why do you want to focus on being uncomfortable like that?
Exactly. Jeez.
But I think people can change them. I do. It takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
You know why? Because we have to be conscious of them as we do it.
Yeah. We sure do.
That makes a lot of change.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. How do we know when it's time to finally leave a relationship, Sandra?
That's a good question. I think it's the same thing as applies to the earlier on we talked. Nothing is working. Mm. You get up in the morning, he or she is just another person in the room and nothing more. You don't kiss goodnight anymore. You stop talking. You grow apart. You lose respect for one another.
Mm.
And nothing you've done worked, and I guess that's when you know that it's over. Not every relationship is meant to last,
mm-hmm.
unfortunately.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's true. It's not not everyone is meant to last, but those are some plain and simple ideas, but I mean that's basically it. You just kind of know. You're just that you're not the way you used to be. And also possibly you don't have that burning desire to create the way you used to be.
To make it better. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. There you go. And when you're in the house and that's just another person occupying space,
mm-hmm.
there's a problem.
Yeah.
There's a problem there, yeah.
Right. And
but it's okay. Yeah. It's okay, right? It's okay to, if a relationship doesn't work, it doesn't mean you did something wrong. It doesn't mean you're a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't always work out. That's it.
That's true. It plain and simple, and that's the way it goes.
But you have to admit mm-hmm. that today it is so much easier to walk away, and I don't agree with that.
I know what you're saying. I'm on the same page with you on that, Sandra.
Yeah.
It is not. And I'm going to leave a little tease here for the listeners, because they really should pick up your book when it's available. We're going to talk about how to get a hold of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you also talk about when a relationship ends, and you emphasize that we try and heal that broken heart through faith, compassion, and hope. And we're not going to – I just want people to know that there is faith, compassion, and hope, and that you, Sandra, do give them some great ideas and strength and things like that at your book that they really are encouraged to read, because it really will help them
once
they're moving on, you know, and learned and been there, done that, and then so people go on with their lives and they have richer experiences.
I heard it takes as much time to heal as the time involved in a relationship, and I can't say I believe that.
I know.
Some people heal quicker than others, but no real rules, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Well, Sandra, it's about that time. We're almost done with this interview, which, gosh, it went so quickly.
Oh, I tell you what, it was great fun. Oh. You're terrific. I heard some great things about you, too.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's nice to hear.
<It's okay. laughs>
Well, listen, what's the best way people can find out more about you and get a hold of your book? And, of course, you know, your other books that have come out are really, really good, too.
Well, actually, the other books are really not relationships. The other books are suspense thrillers.
Ooh.
Yeah, so, you know, they believe it or not, they all deal around regression, past life.
Ooh.
But,
cool.
But it's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Men from Earth.
All right.
It's available.
Yep, so they can just go on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and get a hold of your book. And, again, it's Men Are From Earth, Women Are From Earth. Deal with it. Great title. And by the way, the show will be available for replay and download tomorrow with all the archived information, talking about the show. So you can listen to it again in case you missed such good information here that Sandra gave you. So thanks a million, Sandra. You have a wonderful day.
You are more than welcome. You as well. Have a wonderful day.
All right. Take good care now.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All righty. Once again, author Sandra Marchetti. The book, the book's good, and it's most helpful for relationships as well. Very, very common sense and an easy read too, not too psychologically technical. All right, that's just about it. Thank you so much, everyone, for being on the couch here with me, Dr. Michelle Cohen. Been a pleasure as always. And as I always say, do take care of yourself first. And then you'll be great for other people. And that's the way it works. Okay? It's not narcissism. All right, be back next week. Another famous author, Ina Siegel, is coming back with her latest book on the mind-body connection and how you can change your body and your mind at the same time and get healthier. Have a good time. Take good care now. Bye-bye.